Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Yesterday on the Beacon Broadcast, we introduced Colossians 2:7, and I told you then that What I gave you yesterday was an introduction to the verse, which in itself is an introduction to the remainder of the book. Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2 are the hinge between the first and the second section of Colossians, the first section being doctrinal and the second section being practical, the first section being indicative statements, the second section being filled with imperative statements, the first section being didactic, that means of the nature of teaching. It is a teaching section. And then the section we're getting into now is exhortational. And that, of course, is teaching as well. It's a different kind of teaching. But now it's practical teaching. It is the do's and don'ts, the shoulds and shouldn'ts, the musts and must nots, the thou shalt's and thou shalt nots of this epistle based upon all of the doctrine that we were given in the first part of the book. And that's the proper understanding of that, of verse 6, which says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you have received the Christ that I have presented to you in the doctrinal section of the book, that one, that Christ, so walk in him. Now let your walk be in conformity with sound doctrine about Christ. So that's what we're going to look at in verse 7, and there's a lot in verse 7. I mean, it is a rich, rich verse. Let me read it to you. He says, going on from verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And here we go, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That is a headful, that is a mouthful, that is a heartful of instruction that we are going to look at by God's help and grace over the next several broadcasts. So to that end, we begin today on this Thursday, May 12. Thank you for joining us, and many thanks to those whose financial gifts support us. Well, what do we have in verse 7? First of all, we have characteristics of God's people. Four characteristics of those whose life flows from Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And what are the four characteristics? Number 1, rooted. Number 2, built up. Number 3, established. And number 4, abounding. That's what you see. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And these are four participles, if we want to be technical, in the Greek language. And these four participles give us four characteristics of those whose life flows from Christ, whose life evidences that they have, in fact, been joined to Christ, which, of course, is what takes place in the new birth. It is the doctrine of vital union with Christ. When we are born again into the family of God, when we are given life by the Spirit of God, that's what the new birth is, it's the giving of new life, we are joined to Christ like a branch is joined to the vine, and now the life of God, the life of Christ flows into us from him. And those those of which that is true, I'm having a hard time finding the right pronoun here, those of which that is true have these four characteristics that identify them. Number one, they are rooted. That word means planted. It's like a tree. We would understand that. Rooted. A tree takes root in the soil, and indeed do all other plants. And when it does, when a plant is firmly rooted in the soil, then it has the basis for fruitfulness, for good health, for growth, for all the things that we would like to see accomplished, all the purposes for which we planted it in the first place. Well, that's an analogy of the Christian life. And those who are truly saved are rooted in Him. It says, rooted and built up in Him. God's people have been firmly rooted in Christ. They are rooted in the person of Christ. They are rooted in the doctrine of Christ. They are rooted in the life of Christ. All of those things are true of those who have truly been born again. They are rooted in the person of Christ. They know the Christ of Scriptures, the apostolic Christ, and they have embraced that Christ, and they are now rooted in Him. This is the Christ that I believe in. This is the Christ that I have become a disciple of. This is the Christ that I look to for leadership. He is my head. This is the Christ that I am a follower of. I am rooted in the person of Christ. I am rooted in the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine about Christ that is taught to me in Scripture, the apostolic doctrine that has been given here in this book by the Apostle Paul. And indeed, Paul has given us much Christology, much doctrine about Christ in many of his epistles, nearly all of his epistles, as have the other apostles. John gives us a great deal of teaching about Christ in his epistles. Peter gives us a great deal of teaching about Christ in his epistles. This is apostolic doctrine, and the more we understand about Christ, the more deeply rooted we are in Him. But a Christian is one who is rooted in that. And as I've already said earlier on the broadcast, a Christian is one who's rooted in the life of Christ. There is this mysterious, mystical union, we could call it that, I suppose. Mystical sounds sort of, I don't know, it sounds a little bit ethereal or something. I'm not sure exactly what the right word here is, but I'm simply saying by this that in some mysterious way, we are joined to Christ. And the life of Christ now flows into His people. We are rooted in Christ. Back to that well-known section in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Being rooted in Christ, drawing from the life of Christ, is absolutely necessary to accomplish anything of eternal value. Without that, you cannot live the Christian life. Without that, you cannot please God. Without that, you cannot accomplish anything good, spiritually good, eternally good, in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your friends and neighbors. But if you are rooted in Him, ah, what potential you have. We often don't think of ourselves as being very able to accomplish much to help others. In fact, those who do think that they're able to accomplish much to help others are generally the ones who aren't able because they aren't humble. They are filled with pride. They think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. They evidently haven't been taught by the Spirit of God what wretched sinners they are. So it's one of the paradoxes of the Christian life that the more we come to see ourselves as sinful and unable, the more we actually become able to help others. And it's the ability that comes from Christ. His life flows into us, and it flows into us more powerfully as we become less dependent upon ourselves, our talents, our thoughts, our strength, our abilities, and more totally dependent upon Him. The more we come to understand that truth, that without me, said Jesus, you can do nothing, the more we are able to be a real help to those around us. The more we think we can't help others, the more we actually can. Because of the life of Christ that is flowing in us, because we are rooted in Him. So take heart, dear Christian friend. You look at the needs of people around you and you say, who is sufficient for these things? Well, that sounds familiar. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said when he was thinking about the needs of, I think, the Corinthian church in that particular statement. Who is sufficient for these things? He's saying, I'm sure not. I don't have what it takes to help these people. I don't have what it takes to bring these people out of their spiritual morass into spiritual health. I don't have what it takes to bring people from darkness to light and from death to life and to bring Christians into a state of maturity and Christian health. Who is sufficient for these things? I'm not, but Christ is. Thank God that when I'm joined to Christ, I have all the sufficiency that I need. And the more I'm firmly rooted in Him, the more my spiritual roots are drawing nourishment out of the soil of the life of Christ, the more I am able to produce the fruit of the Spirit that is used by God Himself to help the lives of others. The fruit of my life becomes life-giving fruit to others. It's really the Word of God. It's really the life of Christ, but He uses His people. And so the first characteristic of God's true children is that they are rooted in Christ. The second one is that they are built up in Christ. Again, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. That phrase, build up, refers to a construction project, like a building. We are built up in Him, layer upon layer, row upon row. And that's true both individually and corporately. Individually, we, who are the children of God, are built up, or we could say are being built up, in Him. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, that's the way we grow. If you're looking for a shortcut, you're barking up the wrong tree. If you're looking for some kind of instant super sanctification, if I just go to the altar and yield myself completely to Christ, I will go from abject, powerless Christian to super powerful Christian in one big jump. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. It's growing in grace and knowledge, and that growing is a building process, like building a building. You lay a row of bricks, and then you go back and lay another row. You have to let the first row get settled, get set. By the time you finish a row, it's usually set. But that mortar has to set before you can come back with another row. And little by little, the building is built up. And that's the way Christians are. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.